The Chicago Blackhawks, they're playing with basically six rookies. And once again, they're at the top of the NHL standings. They're starting goaltenders injured right now, although supposedly coming back. But they just continue to win. Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune joins us. And Chris, when you consider, you know, Taves being banged up, Anisimov's being banged up at different times, has this been the best coaching job Joel Quenneville has done?
I think in some ways it is. I would look to his coaching job a few years ago without Patrick Kane as perhaps his best. But right now, I think the way he's been able to manage his lineups, get some performance out of these young guys, I really do think he deserves some credit for their strong start here. You know, and the older guys on the team deserve some credit. You know, Marian Hossa is just having a fantastic, fantastic season. He's already surpassed his goal total from a year ago. I think he's been the MVP of the Hawks so far this season. You know, Anisimov, you know, he's been out the last couple of games here, but he's been playing fantastic as well. I think like 14 goals or something like that. So, you know, the veterans on this team, the high-priced veterans, have really come through when the Hawks have needed it early in the season. That's why they are where they are, even with so many young guys on the team.
Out of the young players, which of the six has stood out the most for you?
Right now, it's been Ryan Hartman. Early in the season, my answer would have been probably Tyler Mott. But right now, you know, Ryan Hartman's been playing really well for them. He's kind of taken over that Andrew Shaw role, that the irritant on the ice, the guy who does some of the dirty work. You know, he gets in opponent's faces, but he's also pretty tough and he can score goals, and he can set things up. And the last couple games, he's played really well. He's been skating on a line with Marian Hossa. Said he's been learning a lot from Hossa over these last couple of games in terms of, you know, body position, being in the right place at the right time to try and set people up for goals. I think right now he's really kind of taken off here these last couple of games. Tyler Mott looked good early on, but I think when he got hurt in November, he had a left leg injury that he was dealing with for a little while. I think that set his development back a little bit. And he came back from that injury, and he hasn't scored a point since. So I think the Hawks are kind of looking for him to round back into form. But I think in those two have shown the most promise so far. Victor Hinostroza has been up and down, more up lately, which is a good thing for them, obviously. But he's been, you know, a little more mercurial than some of the other younger players have been.
One of the questions I had was about the penalty kill. I mean, we've seen it been fairly inconsistent. How are they just dealing with their penalty killing, and have you seen improvements in the last few weeks as the Chicago Blackhawks have really just climbed the standings?
It's been a massive improvement. You know, the penalty kill at the beginning of the year was historically bad, so much so that through the first seven games of the season, no penalty kill unit in the history of the NHL, at least as far back as the stats company stats has kept track of this, had a worse penalty kill rate than the Blackhawks did through seven games of the season. They dug themselves quite a hole in the penalty kill department. But if you look at the last couple of games, just in December, I kind of isolated the numbers. And if you just take December, they're sixth. So a much more respectable outcome for the penalty kill. I think they were the recipients of some bad luck early on, some unfortunate bounces. I think they've gotten new personnel playing well together these last couple of weeks. Their goaltending has been very good, and obviously you can't have a good penalty kill without good goaltending. And so I think all those things kind of mesh together. And quite frankly, in the beginning of the year, those numbers just couldn't have gotten any worse than they were. It was historically bad. So it was bound to level out, and I think they're playing much better to the point that it's more like the Blackhawks penalty kill people have come to know over the last couple of years than what it resembled early in the season.
Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune joins us talking Chicago Blackhawks, who sit in first place in the National Hockey League. Artemi Panarin, a lot of people thought, oh, last year was maybe just lucky. He's playing with Patrick Kane. Well, here he is, 34 games, 34 points, leading the Hawks in scoring, and looking, I'm guessing, for likely a fairly big pay raise at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's, you know, one of the big issues for the Hawks coming into this offseason is, you know, can they re-sign Artemi Panarin? And if they do, for how much? I think this is something that is not going to get resolved quickly. I think it's going to take a while. I think you know, we have to see how he finishes the season, how the Hawks get affected by the expansion draft, how the cap goes up next year. I think all these things. Does Panarin, you know, hit his performance bonuses again this year? Because that could be an extra $2.5 million on the Hawks' cap next year if Panarin gets all of his bonuses. So I think all these things come into play, and there's going to be no quick resolution to this. Stay tuned as the months come along here, but there's a lot of balls in the air that have to kind of resolve themselves before that gets settled.
When you look at the Blackhawks and their situation this year, because everybody's like, oh, this isn't going to be their year, but here they are again. What do you think they need? If they're going to add, which Stan Bowman's never been afraid to do, what do you think they add at the deadline?
That's a good question. I think probably depth at forward. I think right now on the blue line, they're pretty well set. Goaltending obviously is not an issue for them right now. So I think if they look to add somewhere, they look to add on their front lines. The young guys have played well, but you know, if you can add another decent scorer to what they've got right now, I think that would help them. I don't think it necessarily has to be the big splashy move that you've seen from the last 2 years, where they got Antoine Vermette 2 years ago, and last year they went after Andrew Ladd. You know, it just doesn't have to be a splashy move this year because they are playing so well. Maybe a smaller move. You know, we'll see how the trade market looks in the coming weeks here and who's available and what the asking price is going to be. But Stan Bowman is never one to be quiet at the trade deadline. He's going to make a move of some sort. Just how big and where it is yet to be determined. But if I had to guess, it would be probably for, you know, a bottom six or some sort of forward.
Do you think the fact that he gave up a first rounder for Ladd, who then left and, you know, they didn't have a ton of success there, that is he hesitant or does he look and say, hey, win some, lose some?
Well, I don't think he's ever hesitant to give up draft picks in a normal year. But one thing to consider this year is that the draft is in Chicago, and team president John McDonough last year and has said it multiple times that they hope Bowman does not trade the first-round pick this year. The Hawks want to be able to welcome a first-round draft pick this year on the first night of the draft in Chicago. So it's a very interesting dynamic, the fact that the draft is in Chicago this year, that might actually limit Bowman's ability to use his first-round pick. But I don't think when it comes down to it, though, if Stan Bowman sees a way to improve the Blackhawks this year, because they are very much in win-now mode, and if the guy he's going after requires a first-round pick or that's the cost, he's not going to hesitate to use it, I don't think.
What's the status of Corey Crawford?
Corey Crawford been out a little over 2 weeks now, but it looks like he's going to be playing on Friday. He practiced today, said he was feeling pretty good. Today was the big step because it was the first time he's been taking shots from his teammates in a practice. He looked good, and it just looks like everything is on track for him to play Friday, which kind of sets him at the 3-week timetable that the Hawks set for him when he underwent the appendectomy. So all things look good in terms of Crawford. One thing that's interesting is I think Scott Darling has played so well over this last stretch of games here that you might see a little more of Darling going forward, but, you know, this is still Corey Crawford's net, and I think the Hawks are encouraged that they might be able to spell him a little more throughout the season because Darling has played so well over these last 9 games.
And that's always a benefit for any team, and sometimes you don't know if you have a good backup until he gets in a stretch where your starter is injured. How has Brian Campbell looked coming back? Because all the stats tell me, geez, this guy's looked pretty good. I've only watched 2 Hawk games. So how has he looked coming back to Chicago?
I think it was a little slow at the start for him. He was playing on his offside, and he was playing with a rookie in Gustav Forsling the first couple of games of the season. So I don't think it was quite the ideal start. And he'll admit that to you. He's very frank and very honest when you interview him. So I think at the start it was a little slow, but he's picked the system back up here over the last month or two. You know, now he's playing with Brent Seabrook, an established veteran defenseman, and that pairing, you know, I think is kind of what the Hawks had envisioned when they signed Campbell this offseason. You have Keith and Jalmerson at the top, you know, Campbell, Seabrook on the second pairing, and that's a pretty good top four right there. So they've kind of gotten in this groove with those four, and the young guys who have filled out the bottom two. Right now it's Gustav Forsling and Trevor Van Riemsdyk have filled in pretty capably over the last couple of games. So him being back with Seabrook, I think, is the ideal pairing for the Hawks. He's on his natural side. He's with a veteran, and I think it's a pretty good top four.
Chris, we really appreciate the rundown. Thanks for your time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.